You're listening to Season 2, Episode 12 of 88 Cups of Tea with Yin Chang. Am I doing this right?
Hi, I'm your host, Yin Chang, and thanks for joining me on 88 Cups of Tea. This podcast is created to leave you feeling motivated from interviews with storytellers, where we learn how they create opportunities for a successful career without losing sight of the values that make us human. Whew, that was a really long run-on sentence.
Hey, Storyteller Tribe! Before we get into today's interview, I wanted to thank Vermont College of Fine Arts for sponsoring today's episode. Their MFA writing program has been around for 35 years. At the end of the show, you'll find out why they're ranked one of the best low residency writing programs in the country. Today, we have a super special episode featuring Katie Lowes. Katie plays Quinn Perkins on the insanely addicting hit TV show Scandal, created by Shonda Rhimes. Katie is also the co-artistic director and co-founder of IAMA Theater Company. Fun fact, I was introduced to IAMA Theater years ago by our mutual friend Simri Wok, the producing director of the theater company, and I fell in love with the quality work they produce. In today's episode, we get real about the kind of work it takes to be a successful actor, writer, producer, director, and any kind of creative position. Katie's journey is an inspiring one, to say the very least. From working as a nanny, a waitress, and an assistant for nearly a decade to now starring in one of ABC's highest-rated dramas on TV, she is constantly pushing herself to make the most out of her time by growing her theater company and writing a book. As if she isn't already busy enough with multiple projects on her plate, Katie is also in development on a TV show with Shonda Rhimes' production company and ABC Studios. Get ready for an incredibly motivating episode that will shift your perspective for the better. Let's jump right in. Hey, storytellers. Oh my goodness. We have Katie Lowes here with us today. I am so pumped to have Katie on the show.
Thank you so much.
I love, love, love that you're a theater performer first and foremost.
Yes.
I'd love to know, how did you first fall in love with acting?
You know, my parents say that I came out this way. I don't remember there ever being a point in my life where I chose to be a performer. From my earliest memories of about 2 years old, 3 years old, was in a dance, you know, recital class, or running around the corner in my living room and taking bows and just getting applause and already being addicted. From the time I was young, about 2 or 3 years old, I was singing or acting or dancing or something of that sort. So I never had that moment that, you know, my husband is also an actor, Adam Shapiro, and he can distinctively remember the time in high school where he got a play and he didn't really know that acting was a thing and he caught the bug. So I've really been doing it for as long as I can remember. It's part of my identity, really.
Were you already going to college with the foresight that you're going to be focusing on acting?
Yeah. I grew up in Port Washington, Long Island. Well, first I lived in Ozone Park, Queens, and then I moved to Port Washington, Long Island.
Wait. Quick second. I'm from Great Neck.
No way!
Yes, born in the city, then lived a little bit in Flushing.
Oh my gosh. See, for the listeners not understanding like what's crazy, so basically you and I are on the same LIRR line.
Yes.
On Long Island.
I always fall asleep when I get off at Port Washington.
Oh gosh, that's freaking hilarious. Oh my God, that is such a small world. And you're from Flushing, which isn't far from Ozone Park either.
Yeah, I know. Wait, how old were you when you moved over to Port Washington?
I moved in elementary school.
My parents moved me out from Flushing to Great Neck when I was about like 5 years old.
Wow, we've had such a similar journey. And you don't have an accent either.
Yeah, no. It's so funny. People are like, where's your Long Island accent? I'm like,
exactly.
I got rid of it.
You should hear my mother. My mother has a very, very, very strong one. So you totally get it. We grew up very close to New York City as this hub, you know? And so I can remember being 12 years old and like begging my dad for an agent. I was in an acting class, you know, once a week, like a little musical theater performing class. And I loved it. I had heard wind of like, you could go into Manhattan, which was like this amazing land far away where there are actors and you could go and you could audition for things. And I remember like crying to my dad saying, I just wanted an agent and I wanted to audition. My dad said, absolutely not. You're more than welcome to audition for the high school musicals and the community theater shows and drama shows and be in the drama club. And if you go to college, I'll support your choice to major in theater, but you're going to choose it as an adult. And I'm not going to support that as being in the business of acting as a kid. And so I can remember that moment, like, I don't know where I got this idea, but I got in my head that I wanted to go to Tisch School of the Arts, and it was the place. It was in Manhattan, which was where all the actors went, and I wanted to be on Broadway, and I wanted to go to that school and that school only. So at 17, I applied early decision to Tisch School of the Arts, and I got in as a drama major. I set my eyes really young on that school.
Hold up. So you said at 12 years old, you wanted an agent. Yeah. That boggles my mind because I didn't know about agents till I was 18. How the heck did you know about agents at 12 years old?
I don't know. I think I was in like an, I can't really remember, but I feel like I went to a bunch of different like dance schools and things like that. And there were other girls who were like auditioning for Cosette on Broadway and things like that and had agents, and their mothers were like driving them into the city for auditions. And my dad was like, yeah, no, like not gonna happen on my watch. Like no freaking way. And also my mom was like, I'm not driving you anywhere for auditions. That's so stupid. So I got an early decision to Tisch School of the Arts, and I was a drama major. And up until that point, I really just, you know, I was in the drama club and I did, you know, 2 high school musicals a year, and I would do like Shakespeare Day. And I was really fortunate that my public high school had an incredible arts and education program that just really had a lot of room for dance classes. They just had a great art department, and I was really lucky and took full advantage until I got to college.
And I also read that you were studying at Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts.
Yeah. So Tisch is such a, it's a great school and I got a great education, but really what I got out of it was the group of people that I came out of there with. They're my best friends in the world, and they're who I have a theater company with. And it's so crazy, but I feel like day by day, this business gets smaller and smaller. And so many of the kids I went to school with, whether they're acting or not anymore, some of them are also directors, writers, filmmakers, producers, casting directors. I mean, it's just absolutely wild. And so I feel like that was really the thing that Tisch gave me. So Tisch is split up into a bunch of different studios. It's a studio system. So you could pick, like, some people train Strasbourg, some people train in Meisner, some people train in Adler, some people go to the CAP 21, which is the musical theater school. So I was in Adler for the first 2 years, and then you could study abroad, and they take, I think, 8 boys and 8 girls every semester. You have to audition, and you get to study abroad in London at the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts, and you do Shakespeare 10 hours a day. And so I did that my junior year, and it was the most fulfilling, rewarding, incredible, like, I think if I could just be like a Shakespearean actress my whole life, that would be what I would want to do. Except the Brits are so damn good at it that they don't really need me. So fine. And then I came back after that semester and I went to Experimental Theater Wing and did the complete polar opposite of Shakespeare, rolled around on the floor naked and like called it art and got really experimental, got really downtown New York. And then I finished up my studies with Stone Street School of Film and Television because I thought that that would be a smart transition, even though I did not learn anything there. But I dipped my toe into this insane business that we are all riding through.
I love that you tried everything, by the way.
Yes.
And I want to get it back to what you were saying with NYU. What you really got out of it was your connection, your family that you basically came out with, which I think is incredible.
Yeah, I also learned there, like, this might sound rude, but like I also learned there that there's like 2 different kinds of, well, there's many different kinds, but at school there were actors that like kind of stayed in the same studio for 4 years and became like the best actor at that studio because it's where they were comfortable and it's like what they knew. Mm. And I found that for me, like I always got better by being like the worst in the room. If I just auditioned and moved around from studio to studio, then challenging yourself to start fresh and start something new that makes you uncomfortable and scared and go where the best actors are always made me better. So I really did the best I could there at that school. And like you were saying, I really have benefited endlessly personally and professionally from all my friends and my support network. I mean, my best friends in the entire world all moved out to LA in the same 2-year span.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's who I have a theater company out here in Los Angeles, and it's the majority of the theater company members. I mean, since then we've expanded, and there are people in the company who did not go to Tisch, but the company was started by my five best friends who graduated Tisch School of the Arts the same year I did, and we all moved out to LA around the same time, and we were working in the same restaurant. We were kind of like fucking around, like, what the hell are we doing with our lives? We are like slaving away at restaurant work. We don't know how to shoot or make anything because at Tisch we didn't really learn how to work a camera or make a web series. But what we did know how to do was how to make $50 guerrilla style theater. And so we started our theater company called IAMA Theater Company almost 9 years ago out here in LA. And the majority of the people who we work with as writers, actors, directors, a lot of them have some tire connection to Tisch.
That's so fascinating because I have a really close dear friend named mm-hmm. Trish who's actually studying at Yale for MFA for drama. And she's actually working on creating something for the group where students can learn sort of how to be on camera a little bit earlier than the third year or fourth year.
That's good.
And it reminds me so much of your story about how IAMA came to be. And I think that's fascinating because you mentioned the same thing, that you guys didn't know how to work the camera even,
no,
right?
No, we didn't know. I mean, we did not know any of that stuff. We were all theater nerds, you know. All of us had grown up doing theater, and we'd all grown up on the East Coast, and we just really didn't know about Hollywood or any of those things. And now here we are years later with a theater company, and I'm like, shit, this could have been a production company had we known, but we didn't know how to do that stuff. And now I feel really lucky because theater is a huge part of my life. I'm one of the co-artistic directors of the theater company, and it's probably the thing I am most proud of here in Los Angeles. You know, it's like we made a baby and we've like kept the baby alive for 9 years.
There's not enough good theater in LA either, so you really gave a gift to the LA people.
Thank you. Yeah, and it kept us all sane, you know, through some really rough times. I mean, the majority of the company members now are in their early, mid, late 30s, and we've kind of are coming around the other side of this whole thing. But, you know, there were definitely really, really rough times in our 20s where we were like just super broke and super tired and super scared, and the future was just super unsure, and couch surfing and losing jobs and going through breakups and just like all these things. LA can be really isolating, and this business can get really soul-sucking, and being a waiter can be really soul-sucking, and serving people can be really hard. And IAMA really proved to be this awesome escape and inspiring, uplifting, artistic home for my group of friends. And we created it on our own. And I'm just very, very grateful for it.
I can see that too. It's because we know Simbri Walk, our mutual friend.
Yeah. Yes.
And she's invited me out to several of your productions, and I love it. I love it not only because of the work that you guys do, and I've seen your work as a theater actor, and you're fantastic.
Thank you.
And more so also is the chemistry that you guys have with each other.
Thanks.
On stage and off stage. It's so genuine, and it's
such a
freaking family, and I feel like they need that out there. They need more
of history, that.
Kind of,
it's history, you know? It's history. Look, like, obviously there's been drama on stage and off stage. There's been breakups, hookups, makeouts, every, you know, like,
well, yeah, life,
but,
of course.
Yeah, life. And we've also done costumes for each other and lighting and sound and painted every crappy 50-seat theater in the Hollywood area. And tried to build sets and had to run errands to build props. We've all taken our turns doing that. And at the end of the day, there's nothing that gives me bigger fulfillment than when I produce an IAMA play and sit in the audience and it's like opening night and the curtain goes up. And, well, there's no curtains in our crappy theaters, but the metaphoric curtain goes up, so to speak. And my friends just get up there and demolish scenes. And I just am so proud to be associated with my friends. I mean, they're just my favorite people. We just did a 23-hour festival where it was amazing. Oh my God. It was like literally one of the most fulfilling things I've done. That's the other thing, you know, for me personally, I've never been on a show or played the same role for 5 years. And so IAMA gives me a place to still do other things and play and be crazy. You know, like, we have a scene study class every other Sunday night, and I get to do Shakespeare. I get to play Festy the Clown. I get to do a Southern accent. I get to do improv games. Scandal has its specific style, and it's awesome. And I've really learned so much from that. And I Am, it gives me the place to also keep growing and experimenting with other characters.
I have so much respect and admiration for you. You have no idea. I really,
Oh my God, you're so kind. I'm telling you. I
love actors who are so committed to their craft. You're so busy juggling your work schedule, shooting schedule on Scandal that's like consistent. And with your story arc just getting bigger and bigger, it's just insane. Yeah. I'm sure you're there even more and more now. But then still finding the time to work on I Am and feeding that baby, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of perfect though. You know, first of all, this is offensive, but I think like, I think a lot of actors, and especially actors in LA, and maybe actors in general, I don't know if it's because we're right-brained artists, people are just very lazy. Mm-hmm. And it is a business where you can wait by the phone and wait for people to call you. Mm-hmm. But really the people that I have seen and my friends that have had the most success are the ones that really have chutzpah and
are
just
doing
really, they just really get after it. It's like, if you don't have an acting job where someone's paying you, but you're calling yourself an actor, then what are you doing 9 to 5 Monday through Friday to be an actor? That's why I say to people, don't call yourself an actor unless 8 hours a day, at the least Monday through Friday, you are doing stuff to be an actor. That's 1 hour at the gym and 1 hour of therapy a week. Okay, great. Then, but that's all in it. That's all part of it. And then the rest of it, what is that? 3 hours of class, maybe a couple hours of rehearsal for your scene. And then it's what else? It's emailing. It's doing that lunch. It's making something. It's putting on a showcase. It's making a theater company. It's shooting something. It's being part of a shitty short. It's checking breakdowns, like whatever it is. Less than that, I'm just like, what are you doing? You know, Scandal, yes, I'm there a lot of hours. And yes, there are harder episodes and easier episodes. But there's also a lot of downtime when they're moving cameras around takes 15 minutes. And then changing the lighting setup takes 20 minutes. And then I'm in a hair and makeup chair for 1.5 hours. So instead of just sitting there, I'm reading a million scripts for I Am. What are the next world premieres we're going to do? What are plays we're going to read? Can any of these plays be turned into movies that I can produce? Can I be writing something? I'm constantly, constantly pushing myself to make the most of my time. And
God,
to...
why are you so fucking awesome? Seriously.
Oh, please.
This
no,
is giving me joy in life right now. Keep going. Yes.
Well, I just think it's like very, I just think like I'm so, so fortunate to be around people like Kerry Washington and Shonda Rhimes on a daily basis who make me look like someone who's literally sleeping through life. Like that's how busy they are. And if I one day, or any of you out there, inspire one day to be a wonderful actor, actress, director, writer, producer, and also a businesswoman where you have campaigns and you're selling scripts and you're doing press and publicity and all these things that I get to watch Kerry and Shonda run. I mean, they're running businesses and it's an incredibly inspiring, also super involved in charities and politics and activism and all these things. I mean, it's like, holy crap. I'm very fortunate to be around people who are very busy. They kick ass, they take names, they go after what they want. They push themselves constantly. And they also have families. I mean, it's like pretty incredible to be around those women, I have to say.
I'm sure they feel the same about you. Your career is just really going strong.
Thanks.
And the thing is, you're bringing I Am along with you.
Oh, yeah. That's so nice of you to say.
You want to keep that support in independent theater and bring them with you. There's so many people I've met that just get so... And now this is going to be offensive, are just entitled. Like they get something and selfish. And they get something and they're like, you know, peace, bye to those people that have helped. But you're like, no. My success is your success. Let's all go together.
Thank you. Yeah, my best friend said that to me today. It was so nice. I said, this business is very hard. It's very challenging not to take things personally, to wake up every day and be naive enough to think that today's going to be different than the other days. And today might be a day you get a job or something is just... Mm. Wildly insane. When I first moved to LA in my 20s, I had to do a lot of work in therapy and on myself when someone else got something or someone else was having success to not mean that that was being taken away from me, because I think it's a really dangerous and slippery slope. And I just think you are going to have a much better ride in this journey of your career if you come from a place of plenty and that there are enough parts and there are enough opportunities for everyone, and birds of a feather flock together. And I've always thought that, and I have seen it more so come around because of IAMA. Like when I got Scandal, you know, Linda Lowy, who cast Scandal, comes to every IAMA event, and within the next week, she is giving jobs to everyone in IAMA. I mean, literally every single person in IAMA has been on Scandal, Private Practice, Grey's Anatomy. A lot of people in IAMA have been on all three. And, you know, Shonda just came to the 23-hour festival and wanted to know everyone who wasn't hired. Writers who weren't hired, actors who weren't hired. Like, what? She loved seeing fresh faces. I mean,
that's incredible.
But that's where I think it's really important. Like, I do just think karma is a really good thing, and to keep putting yourself out there and putting out opportunities for your friends, and it does come back around. I've had people do really, really, really nice things for me, and I try to do really nice things for other people. I just think that it just adds to the momentum of your own personal career, and to just be around. If your friends are all working and you're working, like, you're all going to come up together. I've seen it personally happen. And I think it's changed a lot, because when I first moved here, if someone who I graduated school with got more success than I was getting, like a better agent, or they got a series and I haven't even had a pilot audition ever, and I'm so struggling and I'm wiping kids' asses because I'm a nanny. Mm-hmm. And I used to be so jealous, like riddled with jealousy. Mm-hmm. I thank God. I mean, I worked really hard on it. It just doesn't serve anybody, and it really just fucks you over. Like, I'm telling you. It's like, oh my God, I'm on the same frequency as these people. Like, not this one, the next one. Like, this is all...
There's enough to go around.
There's enough to go around. And like, once you get to a certain place where you've been in this business for, you know, I've been working professionally for, I think, 13 years or something. But once you get to that place, now I know a lot of the girls in my category. I've known them for years. I know their personal lives, if they have kids, if they don't, if they have husbands. And it's like, it's so much bigger than us. Like, when someone gets something, you're like, yes. Especially if that person's talented and nice. That's the best. You know what I mean?
You're just so happy for them.
Yeah. Like, it's just, it's how it goes. And I do think that birds of a feather flock together. I've always thought so. I've seen it with IAMA happen 8 million times.
Thank you for being so open and honest and raw about all of that. I really appreciate that. And I have met actors who struggle with what you struggled with when you first moved out here.
Horrible.
And it's hard. It's hard for me to see that, because some of them were my friends, you know, and it's sad to see these beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous people who have hearts of gold end up crumbling because they have a different perception. They perceive things in a way too personal way, and take things way too much to heart.
That's why I say it's, I do think it's, you know, whether it's therapy for you or the gym for that person, or a healer, like whatever. Like, I'm not here to tell people whatever. If you don't fucking learn how to deal with that shit, you will
get eaten alive.
You will sabotage your shit over and over and over again. I've never seen a business chew up people and spit them out because of their own bullshit. Like, I mean, saying like they do it to themselves.
Yeah.
It's like they could be great actors and great people, but if they're riddled with insecurity and jealousy and bitterness and any of that, I mean, you just see it. Like, you just really see it. So, you know, I think that being an actor, like, we're actors, which when I say what we do, I mean more if you're like a career actor, meaning you didn't know anybody when you started and you came up in this business slowly but surely, and you plan to be in it for the long haul. And, you know, it's the real deal. It's not like all the glitz and the glamour. It's like real deal, like part to part, and you're going to be a career actor and you're going to do this thing. I think it's really important to have all of the self-care in place for yourself, so that when shit hits the fan, which it will, and it's exciting because there's ups and there's downs and your life ain't never going to be boring. But when those downs come and those highs come, I just think it's so important to have the tools in place, whatever they may be for you, to stay stable throughout it. Because I feel like we have to kind of be Olympic athletes in a way, where we have to take care of our bodies, we have to take care of our minds, and we have to be able to like stay strong and stay stable through the phone calls when you're going to test, and the phone calls when you didn't get the part, and the phone calls when you almost made that much money, and the phone calls when your other girl that you've known forever got it, whatever the fuck it is. But it's like, you gotta know what you need. to get through it. And I also give myself a timeline. If I'm bummed out about something, you know, like a pilot script I had that didn't go or an audition I didn't get, then I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to be bummed for the night, like super bummed. Yeah. I'm going to cry. I'm going to eat ice cream, whatever the hell it is. And then I'm going to go to sleep. And then I'm going to wake up and I'm going to put my bootstraps on and I'm going to get to the fucking gym and I'm going to get right on the phone with my agent to figure out what the fuck is next. Like, I'm so attitude. Like, I allow myself my grieving period for 6 hours where I'm pissed and upset. And I don't show that to anyone. I don't show it to my agents. I don't cry. I just like take it in myself and then I'm out. It's like, what's next? Great. Experience that. Like, let's move on. So resilience and perseverance are really two strong keywords, I think, that are pretty needed in this business.
I know you were mentioning the move over to LA and transitioning over was a bit tough. Yeah. And I know you're talking about waitering and talking about nannying. Is there one big moment that really stuck with you where you really ran into a wall that you felt stuck in a wreck?
I mean, there were so many. I mean, so many. I was babysitting for a family and they would let me leave for auditions, and I had a call back for a play at the Geffen, and I got to read with Annette Bening.
Wow.
And I, yeah, it was so, like, oh my God, up until that moment, one of the bigger deals of my career. And so I was babysitting the kid all morning, and then I quickly changed in the bathroom of the house into my audition outfit. It was 15 pages of sides and period piece, and it was so freaking hard, and I had worked so hard on it. And I ran to the audition. I read with Annette Bening. I felt great about it. I have to go right back to babysitting after the audition. I go back to babysitting. I literally feel like I was cleaning up like a huge explosive diarrhea diaper, and just, I saw my phone ring. I picked it up. They said I didn't get it. And I can remember cleaning this kid's diaper and it, like, a single tear literally rolling down my cheek as if it was like something out of a freaking movie.
Oh, God.
Just looking at my surroundings and my life and being, this was not at all what I planned for myself. What the hell am I doing here taking care of other people's kids? I'm literally covered in another baby's shit for $15 an hour when I just read with Annette Bening. So here's my highest high and my lowest low within the same hour. And this is awful. And I don't know when it's going to end. You know, money was desperately needed and it was just a nightmare. I have no idea how I got myself out of that, but I'm sure I like allowed myself to have a cocktail that night and just bawl and cry. And but I'm pretty good at, I said, like, I don't know. It's been a rule of mine for a long time to be upset for the night and then just get up, get back to it. Because, you know, the business is, you'll have far more no's than you will yeses. I mean, far more. I've had probably 20 yeses in my life and probably hundreds, if not a thousand or more no's. And then I can remember, I mean, I've had so many jobs. It's like, I worked this system. I was a waitress and a babysitter and a nanny, and I ran a catering company and I was an assistant. And I mean, I've done everything under the sun. And through it all, it would be like, and I would book a co-star and I would book another little co-star and then another little co-star. And then a little guest star, and then another little guest star, and then finally another little guest star, and then that guest star recurred. And then I got a pilot that didn't go. And then, you know what I mean? It's like I slowly over a decade built up almost like a corporate ladder job. And I've also found, I always tell this to actors, I've also found that I've never booked the first audition in a casting office, like, ever in my life. Like, who is that? That's like supermodels and people who's like moms or dads or somebody. Like, it's not me. I've never booked ever the first job I go into a casting office. But there are the fifth or sixth or seventh time I go in that office, I'll book it.
Mm.
And so I just think it goes to show you, like, when you work on something, kick ass, go in there, be you. And then hopefully that casting director calls you in again and you do the same thing where you're prepared, you're on time, you have your headshot, you know your sides, you don't come off like a psychopath. And then the casting director calls you in again, and then you do it again, and then you do it again, and then you do it again. And then maybe at that time you might have a pin in you, and then you probably won't get the role. But the next time that you're right, you do that again, and then they're going to cast you. That is what I have seen. Again, perseverance and determination and resilience.
And being constantly prepared is so important.
Constantly prepared is so important because, I just think there are a lot of lazy actors out there that aren't prepared. And then, again, I say it kind of like a joke, but it's like, and then, like, not being crazy. And being nice. Like, it's worked for me. I only know my story, which is I try to go into every audition and just seem like who I am, a normal person. Like, you would like to have me on set. I'm not going to bug anyone. I'm not going to be a diva. I'm not going to be an asshole. I'm not going to be a psychopath. I'm going to come on the set. I'm going to fucking nail the scene. And then everyone's going to get to go home, you know? Like, and so I've just seen time and time again, like, when I go and that's what I bring into the audition, after a while, I start to weigh the casting director down. And she's like, oh, like, Katie, she's a good person. She's a good choice. She did a great job. We've called her in, like, a million times and seen her do all these different roles. And she's always prepared. And she always knows her shit. And she makes a strong choice. And it's time to take a risk and give her that shot. Then that's why you have class, because then when you're finally given the shot, you have to be good enough. When that opportunity door opens, you have to be good enough to walk through and stay there.
That is so true. Now, talking about roles, you being Quinn Perkins on ABC Scandal, do you remember if there was like a freaking insane moment during the audition process?
Well, it was the craziest experience of my entire life. Like, I had, no, literally, like, it was so insane. The year before, Shonda had a TV show called Off the Map that was like a Grey's Anatomy south of the border. And there were three lead female doctor roles on that show. And I auditioned for one doctor role. And I think I did a good job and Shonda liked it. But she said, no, this isn't right. Come back tomorrow and read another doctor role. And I ran home, memorized the 4-page monologue, come back, do the other lead doctor role. No, not right. Go home, learn the third lead. So 3 days in a row in front of Shonda, I did 3 different parts.
Wow.
She doesn't remember this, I don't think. And I didn't get any of them. And it was a terrible pilot season. I didn't get any pilots. I quit my babysitting job because I had a lot of auditions, which was great. But by the end, I hadn't booked one. I had quit my day job, hadn't made any money in 3 months, and was completely broke.
Oh, my God.
So that sucked. Next pilot season, the second audition I have is Scandal. And I go in there for Shonda again. And the name of the role is Quinn. My middle name is Quinn. And I'm like, holy shit.
What? Okay.
Yeah, for real. Totally coincidental. So I go in, I do the sides once. She gives me some redirection. I do it again. And I leave and I feel pretty good about it. I go home and they say they're going to test you. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so great. But, you know, I'm not holding my breath because last year I'd come very close to a bunch of shit for her and not gotten it. And so they call me and they say, all right, come back into Linda Lowy's office, the casting director, and sign your paperwork. I sign my paperwork. I see the casting director, Linda. Linda's like, come in here. Shonda's in here. She wants to talk to you. And I'm like frozen, like face goes pale white. I'm like, why does Shonda want to talk to me? Like, what is happening? I go into the office. It's Shonda, Betsy Beers, who's her producing partner, Linda Lowy. And Shonda sits me down and she says, I just wanted to call you in person and tell you that we're not going to test you for the role and I'm just going to give it to you.
Are you fucking serious right now?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Wait, what was your reaction?
I was hysterically crying. And I asked if I could hug everybody.
Aww.
And I hugged everyone and I was shaking and I said it was the best day of my life. And I that's such a crazy, insane Hollywood story. It never happens. Shit like that never happens. But I just, you know, it's just, it goes back around into a circle. That was probably my 15th time in Linda Lowy's office. I had been on so many other, I had been on Private Practice. I had auditioned for Grey's. She cast Friday Night Light. I mean, I had auditioned for so many things for her and not gotten them, but I had always done my work. And again, as far as like networking is concerned, Linda Lowy even knew me at all because, you know, I studied for a summer at Steppenwolf, which is her husband's theater company in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
So there's a little bit of fate and magic involved, and I think that you can't always see what's ahead of you to put all of the pieces together. But my husband and I always like laugh when we book a job because we always have a really fun time tracing back how we got it or how we got in that office or who we knew or, and I don't mean it in like a gross networking way. That's like totally not what I mean. I mean, it's just crazy how like I babysat for this person who works in this office and is an assistant and my headshot came across the thing. So the assistant called me in and like I hear and have been a part of more connect the dots, things like that. And my husband than any other way that I've gotten jobs. So that's why I think it's just so important to really have your ducks in a row as far as your mental health and your physical health so that you're putting your best foot forward in the world because that's who people remember and who people see and who people recommend for jobs. And it's just all really connected and it's all a very small business out here.
Thank you for that, Katie. You are so awesome. Let me ask you, are there any IAMA productions you're really pumped about in the near future for us to check out?
Oh my God, yes, you have to come. We have 4 world premieres coming up in the next season. One opens last weekend of May called You Are Here. One opens beginning of October called Unbound. One opens next February, March. That was written by John Karen, which is a playwright we won the Ovation for 2 years ago. And then we have another one next summer. I mean, it's like crazy. Please check out iamatheater.com. Theater is spelled with an R-E because we're fancy. And we have a monthly reading series every month. We have our 23-hour play festival we just had in the holiday season. We have our celebrity cabaret. We just have a lot of fun stuff. And please check out our website. Come to our shows. Come find me if you want to get involved. We're super cool. And I think it's hugely important to your lifeline in LA and New York to have a community of artists that you like to mess around with.
I love that. And Kate, last question.
Yes, please.
Is there a book or a few books or resources or films that you love?
Yes, I'm big into listening on books on tape. There is this book called You're a Badass by Jen Sincero. The last name is spelled S-I-N-C-E-R-O. And it's a book called You're a Badass. And it's so empowering and awesome and really helps with the stuff that we struggle with in this career and just as human beings. And so I really love that book. I'm a huge avid television watcher. So I'm so obsessed with The People versus OJ. It's like insane. I think Sarah Paulson is divine. Girls, Lena Dunham is, I can't get enough. Movies. What movies have I seen lately? I loved The Big Short, but what else is coming out? Well, I was in Zootopia, so I should probably plug that.
That's amazing. What character are you playing?
I played Dr. Honey Badger. I'm a honey badger doctor named Madge. It's a great film. It's an important film. It's an amazing, hilariously brilliant animated film that only Disney can bring you, but undertones have a very important message.
I don't know if I ever had the chance to tell you this like years ago, but when we did that reading for Big Hero 6, you are such a talented voice actor.
Oh my God, you are. Stop.
I'm telling you, it's not easy and absolutely another beast in itself.
But see, look at how I got that gig. You know how I got that gig? The Disney Animation casting director. My first job in LA, I was her nanny for 2 years. Yeah, see guys, you never know.
You know that the child that you nannied was in my short film.
Sadie?
Yes.
I remember this.
Yes.
Oh my God. You and I are connected.
It's crazy. Sadie is so cute. She's so intuitive. It's insane.
She's so smart. It's other level. I'd like to take credit for that because I was with her in her impressionable years, but she's like a math science genius, which I am not. So she does not get it from me.
Oh my gosh. I love that. I love how small this world is. Just like you were saying. Just seeing how you connect the dots. Isn't that insane?
It's insane.
I love that. But you know what? We'll have to check out Zootopia. And I'm sure your voice is going to be beautiful and amazing and expressive as always. So I'm very excited for that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Please come check out our stuff. It's so great talking to you and all y'all out there. I wish you to break legs, as my mother says. Keep on fighting the good fight.
Hey, storytellers. That wraps up our episode with the one and only Katie Lowes. Katie, thank you a million for being on the show and for sharing your journey and career advice so candidly. A special thank you to my gorgeous friend Simbri Wah for connecting us. And as always, thank you, storytellers, for listening in. If you're not already hooked, do yourself a favor and start binge-watching Katie on Scandal. You can catch up on previous episodes on Netflix, then watch the current episodes on Thursday nights at 9 on ABC. If you're in LA, you must check out IAMA Theater Productions. I'll definitely be catching the next IAMA play. Head over to iamatheater.com for more info. And if you guys want to say hi to Katie on Twitter, make sure to tweet her at Katie Q Lowe's. Don't forget to head to Katie's show notes page for her recommended resources over at 88cupsoftea.com/podcast/Katie Lowe's. And one more thing before I head out. I've been listening to your comments and feedback about wanting to publish your work. I truly believe you'll want to hear what our sponsor has to offer, especially if you're a writer or a poet. Vermont College of Fine Arts has two writing programs I want to tell you about. Their MFA in Writing is one of the original low residency programs and, frankly, one of the best in the country. Writers gather at VCFA's beautiful campus for two separate 10-day residencies each year. Imagine yourself immersed in a setting much like an intense writer's retreat where you're fully committed to workshops, lectures, and readings. After the residencies, you return home and work with a dedicated faculty advisor throughout the rest of the semester. The MFA in Writing and Publishing is their very first and brand new residential program that also focuses on improving your writing and giving you the tools to thrive in the arts. Every student learns directly from the agents, editors, and publishers. The cool thing is that it's a cross-genre program, which means if you're a poet, you're encouraged to learn from faculty in fiction or nonfiction. Imagine yourself learning and creating in this incredible writing community, all while living on their gorgeous campus in Montpelier, Vermont. Be sure to head over to 88cupsoftea.com/go/VCFA to learn more about these programs and their MFA in writing for children and young adults. Hey guys, it's me again. Thanks so much for listening in on 88 Cups of Tea. Go create something magical today, and I'll catch you in the next episode. Bye.